Matt, are you guys optimistic about Justin? You've seen him throw Friday.
Yeah, he's day-to-day. We'll find out more tomorrow, and we'll see where it is. Because, you know, he started throwing, which is a positive, and we'll see where it is in terms of his functionality.
Are you hoping that he could be back Thursday?
We'll see where it is. We'll see.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, indeed. The Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that was the voice of Matt Eberflus. Is he hoping that he can play? That's great. Do you want your starting quarterback back? Funny stuff, really. But what are you going to do? It was one of those kind of games, guys, where, yes, you want the starter back, and let's hope they figure out if he needs a glove or not. That would be good information to learn.
You'd expect him to be back, right? Especially after what, you know, he was throwing out there, and they made him doubtful before this game. You know, when they upgrade him, you're like, okay, maybe he is coming back, and it'd be good for the Chicago Bears to get him out there on the field again. And we talked about this, and I'll just keep saying it, Pat, put him in an offense that really takes advantage of his strengths instead of trying to say, okay, we're going to have you work on this part of your game, right? We're going to have you process information from the pocket, try to get the ball out faster. Just say, this is what you are right now, right? Here we are. Here we are in week 10. Let's just try to win the football game, right? Our defense playing a little better at home against a bad football team. Let's do what we do best. Let's run the ball. Let's get you on the move. And then every once in a while, we'll take a shot from the pocket.
Yeah, and I think it's another thing. We're going to evaluate Luke Getsy. Is he willing to do that? You know what I mean? That's one question I want to know. Is he willing to change this offense up? I don't think he has to go back as far as he did last year, is making it all that run-centric with him and everything. I think maybe he has enough that he's found out what his strengths are and do what you're talking about, Olin. So to me, this is a lot about Luke Getsy. And then I would love to hear him, and he's probably going to just give a boxed answer, but has he learned anything when you go to the bench? Has he learned anything from watching Tyson Bagent? I know nobody wants to hear that, but not really seeing somebody else run this offense. What has he learned by, you know, sitting on the sidelines, sitting in meetings, and not being the guy? Does that help him out at all? That's another question we'll see going forward with these final few games. And I hope he is ready Thursday, because I do want to watch him back out there. He's more enjoyable to watch. He has a chance to score every time he touches the ball, and I think his ceiling is obviously much higher than Tyson Bagent. So those are kind of the storylines I want to see when he comes back. And, you know, like I said, I hope it works out for that young man. I hope they figure out to win games, and hopefully he can take that next step. And you're hoping he's the answer. You're hoping he's already in the building. You're hoping you don't have to go ahead and draft another young quarterback and wait 30 more starts to figure out if this kid is good.
Yeah, there is something that I do want to touch on there, Mully, and I'd like to get Pat's opinion on it too, and yours. But when I played, I got the most out of Pat watching myself play.
Yes.
But that, I mean, going back and studying my film, my mistakes, what I have to work on. And then I got a lot out of studying guys like Tom Nalen, right, the center for the Broncos, or guys whose game was like mine, smaller centers who had to win with quickness, angles, and leverage. Right. So all I'm saying is this thought of what did you learn from watching Bagent? I think Fields' answer is nothing. Right. I think his answer would be I would hope, from my point of view, is he studied his film. Right.
Yep.
The games he played in, and then went and pulled film on guys that he likes to match his game after. Right. Mm-hmm. And even older films can help. Even guys who have retired already. You go ask the guys in the video room for Michael Vick film or whoever you want to find.
Yep.
And ask them and watch them and see what they're doing with their game, because your game is a lot like theirs, and see how they handle the problems that you are going through.
Right. I think the one question I would ask is, is more situational football, 3rd and 6, a read or something like that. Like, what did you see in that situation compared to another quarterback? It doesn't have to say Tyson Bagent. If it was Peterman in there, what did you see, and like, why did he run the play that way? And I'll let me go back to that's what made you great, that you studied that much. And I learned a lot from you because I followed you, you know, and studied guy, whatever. But my biggest thing is what would I do in that situation if I was sitting there right now? Well, you know, while you're sitting in that that meeting room, right? You're sitting there watching it, and you're seeing some other quarterback run your offense or run that offense, and what Getsy's kind of telling you, and he sees something, but you saw it a different way. Does that maybe just kind of change his outlook on things? Does that maybe make him think about a play differently or a situation differently?
I think it's unfortunate that Chris Collinsworth suggested.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to go that way. I wasn't trying to say that. I was just more of like when you break down tape or you're watching another player or you're just watching that offense run. He probably did the same thing in preseason when the other quarterbacks were playing. You sit there and you're like, ooh, he saw that. I would never have seen it that way. Or he made the wrong decision. You know, just different things like that. The more tape you watch, the better you're going to get. And then you also learn more situational football.
Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Patrick is on the north side. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, this one for the offense and one for the defense. Let's start with the offense. Bajan, I think he got kind of baited there on a couple of those interceptions, especially that first one. And DJ Moore. Yeah, it had to be his worst game of the year with the guy wiped the ball out of his hands. And then the touchdown, I think he should have caught, you know. And then on defense, Eddie Jackson, Alvin Kamara, the goal line. He's stealing money. That guy's been stealing money for years. I mean, she had to take him down the 5-yard line, and he just whiffed. He just let him go. Did you see the play? He just let him go.
I think he was going for the ball. And that, to me, there are situations where you want to go for the ball, and there's one you got when you want to get him down. In the red zone there, I mean, unless it's an easy punch out like the one that did happen to DJ Moore that you know you can get, you go for that. But in that situation, to me, that's just wrap him up and tackle. But it looked like to me, Jalen Johnson came in and tried to knock it out first, right? And then Eddie Jackson should have just been there to wrap up the tackle.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, that Adubo, is that how you say his name? Number 29 for the Saints. What a game that was, right? I mean. Yeah. That is punching the ball out, getting interceptions. It was clinic. Obviously we talk about our former teammate a lot, but Charles Tillman has changed the way defenders play the game, right? And it changed even sometimes on the other end, right, where they're all going for the punch. Sometimes when you shouldn't be going for the punch, when you should be going for the tackle. But I'm sure Coach Flews is preaching that, right? They're working on that every day. They want to get the ball out. They want to get turnovers in this Tampa 2 type defense. It's huge for them. So it's being taught, but like you guys are saying, it's critical to know by situational football where you are. One guy goes for the punch. One guy has to tackle.
And congratulations, by the way, to Taysom Hill. We talked to Jeff Duncan before the game, and he told us that that he needed one more. He needed his 10th reception touchdown, which he got. So he becomes the fifth player in NFL history with at least 10 passing touchdowns, 10 receiving touchdowns, and 10 rushing touchdowns in his career. And he's the first since Frank Gifford in 1964. Good God, that's like 60 years. The previous four players, all in the Hall of Fame. So Taysom, start working on your speech.
The game is changing.
He's a fascinating guy to watch, Pat.
He really is.
And they run basically what I ran in Pop Warner when he's on the field, right? They run like a single wing version of power with the quarterback leading power and putting your biggest defensive lineman at fullback, right? It's fun to watch. I mean, I run that in high school right now, right? I would just run a version of like a tackle over power. And you dare people to stop it. So, but the thing with him is he can throw a short little pass to the back of the end zone like he did today.
Yeah, Olin, one of the biggest. You said the biggest compliment you can give somebody in football, right? Is you call him a football player. That guy is a football player. To be able to do that, put your name against those guys. The game has changed now, so I don't know if anybody will ever do that again. I'm sure somebody will at some point, but back then it seems like guys were playing all different positions all the time. But that's just the epitome of a football player. Being able to put your name next to those greats and to be able to accomplish that, be a receiver, running back, and quarterback, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Let's try John. John's from Algonquin. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I just want to say Fields is a starting quarterback. Bajan is a backup quarterback. If this organization going forward, if they're planning on changing the coaching staff, then you – hold off on Fields' contract and see what the new coaching staff wants to do. But if you're going to keep this crappy coaching staff, then you got to let Fields go so he could shine somewhere else and then go forward from there. But I like Fields. I think he's a great quarterback, but that's what has to be done. When you go into the draft, pick from there, but you have to decide on your coaching staff, and you've got to change that. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. That's GM John right there running the Bears. I like it.
Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to know, what's the chances of keeping him and then drafting your quarterback and going from there? Having two guys on your roster, you know, the rookie, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've how many years have we been waiting for a quarterback? Why not have two high draft picks, figure it out, trade them away, and go from there? You put yourself in position now. You're going to have two very high first-round draft picks.
Right.
I don't know. I just, it may be out of the box, but is that something that's crazy? That you kept Justin Fields for one more year and then drafted a kid high and let them battle it out?
No, I just think it's not as hard as everyone's making it out to be, right? And it's kind of like, okay, we know what Bajan is right now, right? He's a backup quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Now, if he doesn't stop turning the ball over, he won't even be that, right? So we know he has to improve on that. And we know right now what Justin Fields is, right? He is not the guy, the Chicago Bears, he's someone we have to see more from, right? He is not who the Chicago Bears are going to hitch their wagon to right now. He has to play better when he comes back. Like, we all know that just from watching him play the last 2 years. And all the arguments are true. Has he had a ton of talent around him? No. But when you watch him play, like with the first part against the Vikings before he got hurt, that's not enough for a starting quarterback, right? He was not playing well in that game. He was not seeing the blitzes. So all of a sudden, we're worried about a game, and now we got to see, okay, Getsy, will you show us in Lamar's early part of his career type offense to see if we can win with this, right? That's the only question left. Can he develop through that kind of offense? Because we know if you put him in an Aaron Rodgers type Green Bay Packers, Shanahan type offense, he struggles. So I don't know why this is becoming this argument of we don't know what we're seeing. Right, like we're seeing exactly what we're seeing, and we're saying what we're saying, and they have two quarterbacks, and you can play one is not both are not playing well right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's frustrating, frankly, to kind of continuing to see. I mean, I don't know. I'm not here to badmouth Luke Getsy, but you know when he spoke even at the podium during the week, he said something about how, you know, the offense has been successful with Tyson Bagent. It's almost, I wonder if he prefers him because he can do his thing even if his thing isn't working. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that team, and they said on the broadcast, had a real hard time against running quarterbacks. And so you saw them take advantage of that, and I want to say that it was something like 70 yards rushing, something like that, for Bajan. He got some yards on the ground, and you couldn't help but wonder if Fields were there, couldn't he have run for like 150 yards if that were the case?
Well, the biggest question.
Well, they would have played him totally different, right, Pat?
Would he have called the same game plan?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's
yeah, it's crazy. It just drives you nuts. All right, let's try. Daryl is listening in Virginia. Hey, Daryl.
Hi, guys. Just my point is about the play sequencing, especially right before that first pick. Luke Getsy thought he was coaching TB12 instead of TB17, in my opinion. When even Matt Ryan said, well, they're running the ball pretty good to the right. He was alluding to run the ball some more to help out your rookie quarterback. But no, Getsy just wanted to keep the kid firing the ball all over the field and scrambling. When he could have settled things down, when you had the lead, to run the ball more. And I think that's when the rails came off. They started to make adjustments on Bajan, and he couldn't get the ball into those windows because they were crashing in. And to mitigate that, you keep them off balance. Am I right, Olin? And you run the ball a little more. That's my comment. And I don't think that Gutsy did a good job sequencing the calls for his quarterback.
Now that this is the new, I'll say it again. This is the Saints' identity on defense, right? They do play really bad in the first half, and they come out and play better defense in the second half. And that's why, like the caller is saying, and even I thought, I would love to see the numbers running to the right and running to the left. Now, sometimes you have to be clear here. Sometimes you run to the left, Pat, like you know, because you're double team on the right side, right? You're trying to hit that double team backside, right? You're trying to let those two guys double up to the linebacker. My only problem was they were running outside zone. It's hard to get back to those two guys.
Yeah.
I thought when they ran to the right in that half, and they did get stopped a couple times, but, man, were they getting movement. There was a play in the third quarter. I think it was about 9 minutes left. It was a first and 10. They're about on the 49, and they ran the D-line for the Saints. I mean, the Bears' O-line ran them about, I don't know. It looks about like 7 yards off the ball. So you give Darnell Wright the one-on-one block. You let everybody else double team, and I thought that was going well, and I thought they went away from it.
Yeah, the other thing is, in last year, really, when the Bears were in this situation, say down seven, down three or four, whatever, Luke Getsy seemed to always just keep running the ball, right? Last year, it just seemed like you'd hear the commentator like, "Wow, they're still running the ball. They're down seven. They're just running the ball." And they just wanted to keep the game close. That second half, I said they had four series when they're down by 7 points. They had two interceptions and one, fumble from the pocket. So that's them still trying to throw the ball. So to me, that's a little different identity of what Getsy would do in the past. I was kind of shocked they put a little too much on Bajan's plate, in my opinion, to try to win the game in the second half with that running offense. I mean, they averaged 4.9 yards per rush for the game. To me, that's something that they should have leaned on, that try to eat the clock and just say, hey, if we're going to get this game, let's get it down, tie it up or whatever. Maybe Cairo can hit a game-winning field goal. It was a little shocking to me to see Luke Getsy lean on Tyson Bajan as much as he did.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tied game going into the fourth quarter. So that is a good point, Pat. All right, we're going to get back to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. You are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
As loud as we've heard it today, third down and 10. Bajan has time, now finds a wide-open commit at the 25, and he bulldozes his way forward for a first down. Cole Kmet has made some big plays today, and that's another one, getting 11 on third and 10.
Yeah, Cole Kmet did a great job here, but he took a shot, Matt, at the end of this.
And I just love the patience of Bajan and the discipline to check the football down as the game is starting to get into that tight time where you feel like you got to fit in a throw, trust in the check down. Giving Cole Kmet a chance to go get a first down in space. Excellent discipline from a young quarterback.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's time for who's hot, who's cold, and Cole Kmet. 16 catches last two games. He's had four career multi-TD games. He had one, the fourth one, today. So he is hot. And who's cold? Well, the man who's quickly earning the nickname Common. That, of course, would be Velus Jones, as in Common Cold. Sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7. At 1-833-PLUM-911. Mean-spirited? Maybe.
No. I love it.
I was thinking a good nickname for him might be something like Mittert. In other words, mild infection of the upper respiratory tract, a.k.a. cold. But I settled on Common.
Right. Wherever you're going.
He, at one point, I heard from someone who suggested he was about to win the game for them, and that he had a what looked like a fumble, but mercifully they rolled it a drop pass.
I guess I was hoping for the young man that he was going to. He was going to win the game, and hoping for all of us. We could all use a win from the Chicago Bears there. But they try to throw him that. And you know, he's got to hold on to the ball, but DJ Moore doesn't make the block either, right? So there's a lot going on, obviously, in that play. But like we talked about, Pat, with someone like that, it's like the details are never there, right? It's never there on that play, never functioning the way it's supposed to function. Eventually, in the NFL, you have to take your blame for that and ask yourself, why doesn't any play I'm in work the right way?
Yeah, like was
he
supposed
to take? It's not volume, right? You don't need more volume.
No. Like, was he supposed to take two or three more steps to the ball? You know what I mean? Was he at the spot? The little details like that. I don't know. Maybe the guy made a great play. Maybe DJ Moore wasn't there. But to me, you said it earlier. The biggest question is, why is that not going to DJ Moore?
Right.
Like, why is, like when I talked in the pregame, like there should be a menu of plays that just say DJ Moore gets the ball. Right. That's one that's simple. Then you line him up there, you throw him the ball, have somebody else block for DJ Moore. Most likely, DJ Moore is going to catch it. He's going to have a good chance of breaking that tackle and getting a positive gain. Hey, I'm all about preseason, getting everybody touches and figuring all that stuff out. But this is about winning games, getting into your best player's hands. Give it to DJ Moore. Like, I just, those plays just don't make sense to me, and we see too many of those. We see one or two or three pop up every week, and you just scratch your head.
Yeah, we're not even talking just about Jones, right? There was that quick screen to Darrington Evans, right?
Yes.
On the same, on the other side, in empty again was DJ Moore, or even just someone like Mooney, right? So it seems like we always got this Trent Taylor faking a sweep or whatever it may be, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. John is in the South Suburbs. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Super frustrated with Luke Getsy. And it doesn't matter, you know, who our quarterback is. He refuses to coach to the talent that we have on this team. We led the entire league in rushing last year. Our offensive line, who actually had a good game, but they're great at run blocking. Our running backs were getting like 7 yards a carry. And in the second half, he refused to stick with the run and go with the play action. And he just wanted to go back and run his offense. And he put this rookie quarterback in a horrible position where he's trying to drop back like he's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. He's a rookie. And an undrafted rookie at that. I don't care how many years he started in college. And you got him dropping back, trying to read these defenses. And then what you do is you allow the Saints to get out of man-to-man defense, which they had to do in the first half, to commit more blockers, to commit more tacklers to the run. And that's how Bajent was able to run for yards, because the corners are running with the receivers. Now they're dropping in the zone because they know that we're trying to drop back and throw the football all over the yard, and they're picking him off left and right. And he just refuses to do it. He wouldn't do it with Justin Fields. Now he won't do it with Bajent. You have to coach to your talent. We can run the ball. And this isn't some, you know, ooh, this is Chicago Bears, run the football. No, it's run, do what you're good at, then play action, and then you get your chunk plays off of that. And it's just ridiculous to me why he refuses to do it. Coach to your talent.
Thanks, John.
Mm-hmm. John makes a good point, guys, look, like the play we're talking about, right, the screen to Velus Jones, and it's on first and 10 right after the New Orleans Saints take a 7-point mm-hmm. lead, right? It's on first and 10, and we're putting DJ Moore in motion, and then we're going to have DJ Moore block for Velus Jones out there. It's just kind of – some of the game, I'm not saying it's all on Getsy. He has a rookie quarterback who's a free agent. He has a backup quarterback in the game. But plays like that do make you question, at that critical moment in the game, do you not have a section that says DJ Moore on it, right? Yeah. And I have a section that says, okay, these are the plays. I got to get the ball in this guy's hands. And, you know, I know he's fumbled and dropped the touchdown in the end zone, but I still got to count on a guy that I traded for that's probably my best player on offense.
Yeah, and I'll give praise to Luke Getsy in the first half, right? That first half looked great, but you also got to give praise to Tyson Bagent. He ran it very well. And John had another good point of saying he ran that offense like he had Aaron Rodgers back there. And that's what it kind of looked like in the second half. He ran it like he had Aaron Rodgers in the Superdome. That, you know, was an impossible, a really hard place to play. But again, you can't, you've got to put blame on Bagent as well. Those two poorly thrown balls were behind the receivers. You can't have that. You can't have him holding the ball as long as he did. And again, that is, goes back, John made great points, that that's coaching to the talent you have. You have to recognize the situation, where you are. Let's not put it on Tyson Bagent. He got us here to keep us in the game. He had a darn good first half. Let's figure out a way to get out of here without having him have to win the game when you have a DJ Moore and an offensive running game like you do.
Let's try Jason. Jason's in Chicago, and he was inspired today watching the Saints. Hey, Jason.
Hey. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I just think that we need a draft, you know, with one of those top draft picks, draft a quarterback. And I think we should use Justin Fields the exact same way. Keep Justin Fields, use him the exact same way that the Saints used Taysom Hill.
I don't think Justin Fields would like that very much, to be honest with you. you know, I don't know. It's interesting, right, Pat? You talked about, I asked the question also, why not keep both, right? Why not draft a quarterback and keep Justin Fields? Because we seem to be constantly looking for a quarterback, right? But it's an interesting, I don't know what to do right now. I know right now that the way this season is going, the way it looks with the quarterback play from anybody for the Chicago Bears, you are probably looking at drafting somebody with one of those high draft picks.
Yeah, if you're building a fantasy team, I would keep him on my team, right? I mean, he's such an athlete, such a great football player, and can do so many things different ways. I'm just not sold on him being a quarterback yet. But, hey, I'd keep him. If we're building a fantasy team, John or Jason, let's do it. I'll put him and line him up all different places, and we could have fun with that. But I just don't think in the NFL in today's world that would work.
The Bears are 2-7, and they've got a lot of season left. Okay, it's we hit the halfway mark of the season at halftime, and things looked pretty good at halftime. You thought that, you know, they might have a chance in that game, and they were playing better than maybe anticipated. But there are a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns that will happen over the course of an NFL season. It's going to be really interesting. I know everyone wants to push fast forward and see where they're going to draft and how bad Carolina is going to be, et cetera. I don't know that there is any way of determining any of that stuff until you get toward the end of the season. I mean, who would have thought that the Bears would have had the first overall pick last year? It took, like, a remarkable victory by Houston to push the Bears into that spot. So I agree with what you said earlier, Pat. I think that it's clear the Arizona Cardinals aren't going anywhere and are going to try to lose. But Carolina's going to try to win as the year goes on. They'll try to win some games at the end of the year so they look like they didn't make a terrible mistake at the quarterback position. And they got no incentive to try to help the Bears. It's just an awkward position to be in. And I think there's a lot you need to know yet about Justin Fields. And when you say that, people get mad and they say, haven't you seen enough? Haven't you seen enough watching him the last couple of years? I don't think we have. I think there's still more information that they need to figure out. And part of that comes down to how they want to put game plans together.
Yeah, and to me, guys, I'm just scrolling through the rest of the schedule. So they have Carolina Panthers on Thursday, right? Then you have Detroit twice in 3 or 4 weeks with the bye, who is a winning team. You got Minnesota with a backup quarterback. The Cleveland Browns defense, I do want to see Justin Fields go against Cleveland again, just with that defense, how good they are. Then they have the Cardinals, Falcons, and the Packers. That's just, you know, it's a good opportunity for maybe get a couple wins and get going. But as far as evaluating Justin Fields, I think you've got three games left that are pretty darn good defenses they've got to face that would be a good way to evaluate him. And hopefully he can step up and show something for himself. But I do think with that schedule, the way it looks and the way the Bears have played of late, I know they're only 2-3 now instead of 2-2, but they might be able to get some more wins going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting watching this team as they go along and what actually comes of the quarterback situation. I think it's pretty clear where they are with the quarterback situation right now, right? It's not good enough.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's this like question out there about what they have to do and who they have to keep, and everyone acting like it's Fields versus Bajan, which is not at all, right?
No.
It's Fields versus whoever the highest, if we have a high pick, if we can take a quarterback there. So right now, it hasn't been good enough with the quarterback play. Where this pass rush goes will tell us what the Bears need on defense. I will say this, in a second half, it was the first time I saw the Chicago Bears able to just play zone coverage and get pressure on a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time this season the defensive line got pressure. I think it was a 3rd-and-8 when Sweat actually hit Carr's hand, right? And they were in cover 2 or I think it was cover 3, actually. They were in cover 3. It's the first time I saw, and they sat in that zone coverage all second half. And I think that the Saints were almost like 5 for 6 in the first half and 1 for 6 in the second half. So they got to finally play the defense that Flews likes to play with that guy Sweat on the field. So that was a big change. And the only reason why I say that is this, guys. All you did was add talent to one side of the ball, and it changed it.
Yep.
Interesting. Apparently, Jalen Johnson in the post-game locker room said that he was pleased that Montez Sweat got paid, that Sweat is a great player and deserved it. So I don't know if we were expecting him to be jealous about it or whatever, but it was interesting.
I hope he's motivated, right? I hope he's motivated,
yes. Sure.
Right? I hope I've talked about how Brian Robinson and R.W. McCorders got paid the year I came up. And they were my teammates in the locker room, and it motivates you to play harder, play good, and you know, hopefully you don't make a Gatorade bottle bazooka and pulling it at the general manager's office, right, Pat?
Oh, man. Mully, I know that story has to come up at some point. That's going to be – when I don't write my book, that's going as a complete chapter.
Was that Robinson or R-Dub?
Oh, no. In our O-line, real quick, we had Gatorade bottles. You get bored, right? You have the tape and the pre-wrap and all that stuff, and we built it.
It was Big Cat, wasn't it?
Big Cat did it, yeah. And at first, it kind of looked like a big, giant joint. And then we turn it into make it look like a bazooka. You took another big piece of tape and you put like a strap around it. Well, we'd have walkthrough before practice. And while all this contract stuff is going on, you're hearing about a little bit in the building. And Olin goes out there, and I think it was a kind of a colder day, right, Olin? I think you just had shorts and a T-shirt on. And you're out there right in front of Jerry Jones's office, right there about the 30-yard line. Jerry Angelo. That'd be a good flight down there. In front of Jerry Angelo's office. Laying on the ground. Just picture this, laying on the ground with a bazooka on his back, pointed up at Jerry Angelo going, "When are you going to pay me? When are you going to pay me? When are you going to pay me?"
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So we're all walking out.
I wouldn't suggest that for Jalen. Mully, I wouldn't suggest that tactic for Jalen Johnson, you know, if he wants to get paid.
But it was so well
done.
I'm
the guy who can give you advice, because I can tell you, don't do the things I did. You know?
No, wait. It worked. It worked, right?
It worked later. I got paid last, and I have to go to free agency. So it worked a little late. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. But, Mully, hold on. Before we go to break, I know we got to go to break. Yeah. So Olin gets out there early to do it. So he's kind of like by himself. Maybe there's like 3 or 4 other O-linemen. So he's starting that. The rest of the 53 guys are walking out while this is going on. They're like, what the heck is going on? Coaches as well. So it was perfectly executed.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's unbelievable. I was talking to R.W. McCorders one time, and he had a tattoo across his stomach that said franchise.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, you know, that's French interesting.
Fries.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said that when he was in San Francisco, they started calling him French fries.
Yes.
But how do you tell that story? How do you share that with a media member? I was just standing there giggling. I couldn't believe it that he told me that story.
One of the funnest teammates I've ever had, Pat.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Really
yes.
Just an Charity. Interesting guy. He loved playing football. I mean, I'm not surprised, Mully, he told you that, because he had a humble – for a guy who had franchise on his stomach, he was oddly humble.
That's a good way to put it.
Oddly humble.
Oh, yep.
God. Unbelievable. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought our team played extremely well, which is why it's so embarrassing, just because, you know, one score game, lose a turnover battle by that amount, it's embarrassing, but it's part of the game, and I'm just looking forward to building and learning from this experience.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, indeed. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that was young Tyson Bagent at the podium after the game, embarrassed by the turnovers and his performance. That's rough for a young guy to feel that way. And I know it was trending on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, that apparently was it Boomer at halftime said that if he keeps playing like this, he's going to have to remain in the starting quarterback position. Well, he didn't keep playing like that, so I think we're talking about a very quick turnaround for the Bears. They will be back at home against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday night, on Thursday night, and maybe by then the quarterback Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback. We'll wait to figure that out, but it's a very quick turnaround, obviously, guys.
Yeah, I'm looking here at his stats, and Olin, you made a great point that say if Justin Fields, let's say hypothetical, is out for two more weeks, if you continue to turn the ball over like this, you know, against the Vikings, he had that one interception, beats the Raiders with no interceptions, two against the Chargers, three against the Saints. It's hard to put a guy out there for the rest of your teammates that you know is going to turn the ball over like that. Like if he starts against Carolina, say if he has to play two more weeks for some odd reason that Justin Fields' thumb doesn't heal up right, can you keep putting him out there, or do you got to put Peterman out there? I mean, that's tough. I mean, because you, it'd be hard to put a guy out there that keeps throwing the ball to the other team two and three times a game.
It is. It is hard to do that. I think, you know, Getsy, I don't think he had a terrible game like we're talking about. I think when the Saints went up seven, I think he didn't call a great game at that point. Yeah. And that's when he thought he could put the game on Bagent's right arm, right? I think that's the moment where – I think that's the time in this game everyone's talking about. Right after they went up seven, when they came out, we threw that screen to Velus-Jones, and then he threw his first pick, and then he threw a pick right after that on third down coming out on the next drive, right? And it's just – that's the part where you're like, man, why did you do that? And then for Bagent, it's just kind of on that pick he threw over the middle that he was trying to hit Scott on, just check it down to your tight end in the flat there. And if he doesn't get the first down, kick it away. Field position, it's just for him to learn from, Pat. And like you're saying, if he can't in that set of games, that is what this was going to hold this guy back, right, from what we've seen so far. He has to improve on. You cannot, like your defense, right at that moment, somebody needs to pull him inside and say, look, our defense is kind of taking over this game. Derek Carr looks rattled in the pocket. They're not moving the ball here in the headset. If this is not there, if they drop everybody in coverage again, check the ball down. We'll punt it away and hopefully get good field position to tie this game up. So that's the part of the game I think that really frustrated everybody who's watching it and frustrated Bagent. That to me, when he's talking about an embarrassing interception, I think he's talking about the one to Tyler Scott over the middle.
Yeah.
We want to send out a thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the nearest location close to you. Aurelio's Pizza, it is the sauce. And thanks to Alex Kuhn, who was our producer for this show. Really enjoyed a chance to break down the game with you guys. Olin, you're on tomorrow, right?
7 in the morning, man. 7 in the morning with you and David.
Yes, like clockwork. And Patrick, you're on later in the week, I believe, right?
Yep, Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yep.
And then everyone has to be on Friday because Friday is Monday because Thursday is Sunday. Right?
That's right. It's a whole different week for you guys. It's a different week for everybody.
I don't know if that works. Yeah, it's going to be a weird one. I'm sure we'll get Mark Grody involved somehow.
Yes.
What a barn burner we got this Thursday night, guys. Get ready for it, man.
The draft pick game, right?
It is, yeah.
Oh, yep. Mitch has got to start paying us time and a half for this analyst work for the Bears, right?
Combat pay, if this keeps up. All right, guys, have a great one. Don't forget that the post-game show with Anthony Herron will be following us. We also have some audio from your guy, Matt Eberflus, so stay tuned. Nothing is ending. We're just saying arrivederci, if you will. I don't know why we'd say that, but that's it. Aloha. How about that?
Well, there we go.
I like that. Aloha and mahalo.
Yep. All right, guys.
A hui ho. A hui ho.
Hey, don't get dirty.
No. That's just until we meet again.
Oh, okay. Perfect. No.
This isn't bazooka time, guys. Yeah. Take it easy.
It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago.
Where's my Stadium. Money?
670 the score.
Yeah, I thought our team played extremely well, which is why it's so embarrassing, just because, you know, one score game, lose a turnover battle by that amount, it's embarrassing, but it's part of the game, and I'm just looking forward to building and learning from this experience.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, indeed. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that was young Tyson Bagent at the podium after the game, embarrassed by the turnovers and his performance. That's rough for a young guy to feel that way. And I know it was trending on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, was it Boomer at halftime said that if he keeps playing like this, he's going to have to remain in the starting quarterback position. Well, he didn't keep playing like that, so I think we're talking about a very quick turnaround for the Bears. They will be back at home against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday night, on Thursday night, and maybe by then the quarterback Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback. We'll wait to figure that out, but it's a very quick turnaround, obviously, guys.
Yeah, I'm looking here at his stats, and Olin, you made a great point that say if Justin Fields, let's say hypothetical, is out for two more weeks, if you continue to turn the ball over like this, you know, against the Vikings, he had that one interception, beats the Raiders with no interceptions, two against the Chargers, three against the Saints. It's hard to put a guy out there for the rest of your teammates that you know is going to turn the ball over like that. Like if he starts against Carolina, say if he has to play two more weeks for some odd reason that Justin Fields' thumb doesn't heal up right, can you keep putting him out there, or do you got to put Peterman out there? I mean, that's tough. I mean, because you, it'd be hard to put a guy out there that keeps throwing the ball to the other team two and three times a game.
It is. It is hard to do that. I think, you know, Getsy, I don't think he had a terrible game like we're talking about. I think when the Saints went up seven, I think he didn't call a great game at that point. Yeah. And that's when he thought he could put the game on Bajan's right arm, right? I think that's the moment where – I think that's the time in this game everyone's talking about. Right after they went up seven, when they came out, we threw that screen to Velus Jones, and then he threw his first pick, and then he threw a pick right after that on third down coming out on the next drive, right? And it's just – that's the part where you're like, man, why did you do that? And then for Bajan, it's just kind of on that pick he threw over the middle that he was trying to hit Scott on, just check it down to your tight end in the flat there. And if he doesn't get the first down, kick it away. Field position, it's just for him to learn from, Pat. And like you're saying, if he can't in that set of games, that is what was going to hold this guy back, right, from what we've seen so far. He has to improve on. You cannot, like your defense, right at that moment, somebody needs to pull him inside and say, look, our defense is kind of taking over this game. Derek Carr looks rattled in the pocket. They're not moving the ball here in the headset. If this is not there, if they drop everybody in coverage again, check the ball down. We'll punt it away and hopefully get good field position to tie this game up. So that's the part of the game, I think, that really frustrated everybody who's watching it and frustrated Bajan. That, to me, when he's talking about an embarrassing interception, I think he's talking about the one to Tyler Scott over the middle.
Yeah.
We want to send out a thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the nearest location close to you. Aurelio's Pizza, it is the sauce. And thanks to Alex Kuhn, who was our producer for this show. Really enjoyed a chance to break down the game with you guys. Olin, you're on tomorrow, right?
7 in the morning, man. 7 in the morning with you and David.
Yes, like clockwork. And Patrick, you're on later in the week, I believe, right?
Yep, Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yep.
And then everyone has to be on Friday because Friday is Monday because Thursday is Sunday. Right?
That's right. It's a whole different week for you guys. Different week for everybody.
I don't know if that works. Yeah, it's going to be a weird one. I'm sure we'll get Mark Grody involved somehow.
Yes.
What a barn burner we got this Thursday night, guys. Get ready for it, man.
The draft pick game, right?
It is, yeah.
Mitch has got to start paying us time and a half for this analyst work for the Bears, right?
Combat pay, if this keeps up. All right, guys, have a great one. Don't forget that the post-game show with Anthony Herron will be following us. We also have some audio from your guy, Matt Eberflus, so stay tuned. Nothing is ending. We're just saying arrivederci, if you will. I don't know why we'd say that, but that's it. Aloha. How about that, Portland?
There we go.
I like that. You. Aloha and mahalo.
Yep. All right, guys.
Ahuiho. Ahuiho.
Hey, don't get dirty.
No. That's just we meet again.
Oh, okay. Perfect. No.
This isn't bazooka time, guys. Yeah. Take it easy.
It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago.
Where's my money?
670 the score.